The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is Tartarus, and who are the angels that are chained there? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have a question that keeps you up at night? Well, you can zap it to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin. And hey. Did you know you're PC?
I'm PC. What does that mean?
You're post-coffee.
I'm post-coffee. I have my coffee here. Yes.
Fine. And I'm PT.
Post-tea.
Post-tea.
Post-tea. Hey, we always go by our first names. Do you ever go by your second name for anything? What is your second name? Nicholas,
yeah.
Do you ever go by Nick, Nikki, anything like that?
Serbian is Nikola.
Nikola, like Tesla.
Yes, Nikola Tesla was Serbian. In Serbian, listeners don't want to hear it.
Yeah, why not?
But in Serbian, the way it works is, the tradition is, the father gives his son his father's first name,
okay,
and his middle name, and then it alternates.
Oh, interesting.
And so, like, my uncle was Nikola,
yeah,
and his middle name was Mihailo, and then he named his son Mihailo Nikola, and then my cousin Michael named his son Nicholas, or Nick.
Okay, okay.
But his middle name is Mihailo, and it alternates that way from generation to generation. So you're basically...
You don't get a whole lot of choice.
You don't get a lot of choice.
It's not a capitalist way of doing names.
But if you have more than one son, then it's only the firstborn that's going to be like that.
Oh, I see, I see. So you have choice with the other
right.
ones. Okay, well, very good, very good. I think my parents just picked two names at random.
And you're Christopher.
I'm Christopher, yeah. They just...
Bearer of Christ
in Greek.
That means
nothing. My name means absolute. To them, it just means... You know, in other cultures, they have such reverence for names, and I guess the Serbians are like this.
Yeah.
But not in my culture. It was just like, that sounds okay. Let's put those two together. And that's how we named our kids. Not a whole lot of thought to it. But we better think about this next question.
Right.
All right, this next
question. And by the way, the reason my middle name is Nicholas is because of my uncle.
Because of your uncle?
Yeah, they wanted
Why
to honor
him. Why is your uncle
him.
Your father?
No. No, they wanted to honor my uncle. My dad is Robert, and so I'm Robert, but my uncle is Nicola or
you
Nicholas.
You should have been named after your grandfather.
My grandfather's also Robert.
Okay.
See, my dad's not Serbian. My dad's English, Irish, Scotch.
Right.
And so they just kept Robert, kept it coming, but changed the middle name.
Now, a name you do see a lot is James, and we have a question from James here. But it's a complicated question.
Okay, yeah, you do this a lot to me.
Well, I pick them out off of this stack, and I think that we have a chance of answering them, I'll give it a go.
All right.
It's about, he says, first, let me thank you for your article clarifying about the outer darkness as well as Tartarus. But darkness raises some questions. As you know, the angels bound in Tartarus were bound in eternal chains and eternal blackest darkness. And would you want to just say something about that? What is Tartarus and who are these angels that are chained in there?
Okay, well, that's a good question. We know that angels will be judged in the future, and that most, that is fallen angels, and that most fallen angels are free to roam now, right? They're free to serve Satan and to oppose the plans of God. But a small number of them are held in chains. 2 Peter 2:4 talks about that, and other texts talk about that. Those are the angels that intermarried with women in Genesis 6:1-9.
Right.
And as a result, God put them in Tartarus, which is probably another name for the abyss. It's a very bad place within Sheol, and they're currently in torment.
Basically, the underworld, the realm of the dead, is not just one place. We think, oh, you die, you go to hell. Well, there's no such place as hell. What you have is Hades, and you got the pit and the abyss, and you got Tartarus, and it's hard to know. And then you get, you know,
Gehenna,
and it's hard to know, okay, what We all know it's bad. It's all bad except for one area of Hades, which was good, Abraham's bosom, but which now is in heaven. Paradise is what it was called.
Because when Jesus ascended, he took all the believers out of the good part of Hades or Sheol. Yeah, I discuss all this in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. I have a chapter on hell, and I discuss the various words. I don't give a lot of detail because, frankly, the Bible isn't real clear about all these things.
Right.
But yes, it is called darkness. And in both 2 Peter and Jude, it's talking about darkness as the eternal abode of unbelievers.
Right. Let's see. The angels that sinned with women were placed into this special area of confinement called Tartarus.
Now, yeah, that's 2 Peter 2:4.
2:4. Then in Jude, I forget where the parallel is.
If God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and actually...
The NKJV gets it wrong there.
Yeah, it's really not hell.
If you look at the footnote, it says Tartarus.
Right. The Greek is Tartarosas.
It's the verb.
Tartarus. Yeah, confining them to Tartarus, and it's chains of darkness.
Yeah, to be reserved for judgment. Okay, so now let's get back to James's question. But they were temporarily released in Revelation and appear as scorpions. So I don't know that off the top of my head.
I think we're talking Revelation chapter 6.
I'm not sure if those scorpions are the angels that sinned. What do you think?
Well, Revelation chapter 9 and what is it? Verses 9 and 10. Or it starts up even earlier, verse 7, the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle.
Uh-huh.
On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. So these aren't little scorpions.
Yeah.
These are probably man-sized or something like that. And they had breastplates, and they had tails, and they were like scorpions, and they were given power over men for 5 months. And then verse 11, could you read that, Revelation 9:11?
And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon.
Now those both mean destroyer.
The destroyer. One woe is past, behold, still two more woes are coming after these ones. So,
and by the way, I forgot to read 9:1, which is what James is asking about. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened, and out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth. Well, we're not told that these locusts are fallen angels.
Yeah.
And we're not told that they're demons. We're not told what they are.
Yeah, it seems like I'm just looking at J. Vernon McGee's commentary here, and he just takes them as a distinct type of creature. He doesn't take them as demons or angels. It's like they're their own thing.
And they're being held in the bottomless pit, and they're released from there.
Right, something.
You know, in 2 Peter 2:4, it says that the angels who sinned are being reserved for judgment as they're being held. And it wouldn't make a lot of sense for them to be released here because they're reserved for judgment. Now, I read the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and the commentary there says that these are demons. But many people use the term demon and fallen angels synonymously, like demon is just another name for fallen angels.
Right.
And it doesn't make sense that the demons would be held in the abyss because the demons weren't held in the abyss. So I kind of like McGee's idea that these are some sort of creatures that are held there or being released from there, maybe even created and just brought up, and they don't necessarily have to be fallen angels.
Yeah, let alone the angels that are being held in Tartarus.
But they could be, and if they are, okay, they're still reserved for judgment. It's just they're given this short time to... It's 5 months during which they torment people on the earth. If that's what it's talking about.
So, and then James basically has some questions based on the idea that these are the angels in Tartarus. But if you don't accept that idea, then I don't think these questions that kind of answers his questions then.
Right.
You know, his questions were like, how could they be in eternal darkness if they're opened, if they're let out for 5 months to torment people on earth? I don't know that they're in eternal. Where does it say eternal darkness? Is it Jude? I mean, I don't know.
Well, there's a verse. I think it's 2 Peter 2:17. And that verse, though, is not talking about fallen angels. That's talking about the false teachers. What is 2 Peter 2:17? They are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
Hmm.
But saying the blackness of darkness forever is reserved for them doesn't mean that there couldn't be a time before the Great White Throne Judgment when they were released. Now, of course, this is humans.
Okay.
But the point is that forever is looking at the future, not looking at the present.
Well, not here. No, I have an answer. I'm going to shoot out an answer.
Okay, give us
an
answer.
So it's in Jude 6, and the angels who do not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains in their darkness for the judgment of the great day. I'm going to hazard this answer to James. I think the fact that, again, we're told they're reserved to be under these chains until the judgment of the great day is further proof that whatever these creatures are in Revelation 9, it just can't be. It can't be these angels, because these angels, they're in prison until they're being judged.
Yeah, unless God allows some sort of a 5-month release.
Like a day pass.
A day pass, and
sometimes,
then they're right back.
Like
I don't know.
Passes.
I think you're probably right that these are some creatures that God is releasing. They're not fallen angels. I'm inclined to your view.
You know, we need to do a book on eschatology, I think. Because, you know, eschatology is so essential to free grace, and we've touched upon it in so many articles and journals, like about rewards and outer darkness and the kingdom to come, and we should do a big old book.
You know, when I was in seminary, I told Sharon, you know, I just don't get eschatology, and she said, don't worry, honey, it's not the end of the world. Isn't that good?
That's good. We need to take this show on the road, I think.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks for the question, James. That really kind of stretched us. And if you have questions about the Bible and theology and you want to hear us kind of stumble over the answer and admit our own ignorance and just wrestle with these things, send your questions to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.